Today's episode is a bonus show. When my guest sent me a preview of his new single, I said, darn it, I have to have him back on the show. Back on the show, because today's guest was also my very first guest on The Interviewer. 14 months ago.
14 months already.
62 shows ago.
Wow.
Exactly. Matthew James.
You've been busy.
I have. Thank you very much indeed. Matthew's been is one of Malta's best known, best loved singer-songwriters and producers. Matthew shot to the top of Malta music's scene as the frontman for Red Electric. But after leaving the band, Matt has kept going from strength to strength as a solo artist and with collaborations. But a few weeks ago, Matt sent me the video for his next timely release called Wrong Reasons. Not only is it a pumping track, but the video shows a wigged Matt as an election candidate who's clearly in love with himself. The track and the video are brilliantly creative, very dark, and stunningly mastered. Although, if you don't mind me saying, the wig leaves a lot to be desired. Hello, Matt!
We had to make sure that the wig looks slightly fake because it's part of the character.
Matt, that is not slightly fake. That is really fake. And it's really nice to see you with hair and not a hat.
Yes, yes, yes.
Listen, welcome to the show. It has been 14 months.
It has.
And you were the very first guest on The Interviewer. So thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you. Your invites are always like something I look forward to.
Well, that's only, I've only had two.
We've spoken in the past as
well. We have indeed. I've interviewed you probably more than anybody else that I've interviewed.
I think so, yes.
Well, listen, good grief. I've got to just say, this is incredible. When I think I've got the size of you, when I think I've got you kind of measured up for what kind of artist you are, you go and do something like the track that you released today, Wrong Reasons. And I'm like, what? This is not usual stuff. This is incredible. Where did this all come from?
I think Wrong Reasons came after a three-week dry period of like not writing anything. What happened was I heard the song, always forget the name of the group and of the title as well, because the song, I get lost in the song so much,
song. Like,
and every time I have to type the part of the lyrics which goes, the world got a little more dim tonight. That's how I know it. That's how I find it on YouTube and Spotify. And sometimes when I hear a particular track that blows my mind, I try and songwrite, because obviously you get inspired. But as soon as you try and play anything, everything starts sounding disastrous compared to what you've just listened to, that masterpiece, you know? So yes, that was 3 weeks of no music. And then the usual, like after, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're tired and you switched off everything, your mind relaxes and that is when the ideas come.
That's how it works.
And this was most of the time, yes.
So basically, convenient.
Yes. So basically the day work is like just prepping you up for a sleepless night of production, songwriting.
That's crazy. And of course, you know that everybody that's watching or listening to this now is typing in, what was the lyric? The world got a little darker tonight.
The world got a little more dim tonight. It's something, SSDH. The title is weird, but I forgot it. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I forgive you. but you sat down to write this track. You were inspired by that lyric and that song. But why? How? What is, for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, I mean, it's not just a great song, as I mentioned in the intro, it's also an incredible video, and we'll talk about that in a second. But where is that coming from? Where does that correlate to that track, that lyric you just mentioned?
No, I mean, I think the lyric I just mentioned just gave me just pumped up the thirst to create something, you know, got the creative juices flowing. Then that creativity always, like, coincides with what you're going through at the moment through life, or what thoughts you have in your head. And at that moment, I was a little bit angry at the way things are going in the world at the moment. So I think it's, no, it's not the first angry song. I've had angry songs before. But this is a bit angry tongue in cheek, you know?
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's tongue-in-cheek because of the video, but if you listen to the lyrics without seeing the video, there's a very powerful message in that. Now, I'm obviously going to ask you, because it talks about, as you said, the world as it is at the moment, and you are in the video, you are an election candidate.
Exactly.
Is this timely? Is this related to what's happening in Malta, or is this related to what's happening in the world? I have to ask you.
I think it's a universal thing. It's a world thing. How am I going to explain it? You see a lot of people now. What I'm going to say doesn't take credit from all the good people that exist, but social media made it more accessible to seeing more people and what more people are doing. And you start saying, first of all, you shouldn't judge, but we're humans. We all judge. And you're like, but that guy is not doing it for the right reasons. He's doing that for the wrong reasons. Now, I do stuff for the wrong reasons as well, but I try and minimize them as much as possible. Like I think that is the important part. I chose politics because obviously, they're an easy target. They're in the limelight and it's very relatable. And like whenever there's a problem in the country, the first thing that comes to your mind is, the politicians did this, you know? But in reality, although in politics, yes, the fact that there is certain power in those positions makes it easier to fall for the wrong reason sometimes, you know. But not only in politics, like even people between each other, like doing a favor to get something in return and not just doing the favor to see the person smile. These little things, in Maltese we say ciuciati.
Ciuciati. I like that. I'll be using that, ciuciati. Obviously not in the wrong context, but I should imagine someone will get upset about that. but it is timely that was released with regards to the politics.
Yes, I mean,
because we're coming up to an election.
The fact that an election is coming always exposes things even more, like all eyes are on them, you know? So, yeah, it was. I think they deserve a beating sometimes. I mean, an artistic beating, not an actual beating. I'm against violence. I'm not a violent person. Even if I were, I'm not that dangerous. I'm 5'6" and really skinny, so I'm not a threat.
I think pretty much everybody understood you didn't mean an actual beating with a stick.
No. But I mean, it comes with the price as well. I mean, having exposure is a good thing because you can use it to your advantage, but expect people to criticize as well.
It has a lot of responsibility as well.
As well.
There's a lot of responsibility with being in the public eye and making sure that you are seen to do the right thing as well as doing the right thing. Do you not think?
But the problem is that seen doing the right thing is more important than actually doing the right thing. Like, if something is being filmed, we all have to be wearing masks. But then if you're backstage and there are no cameras, it's okay, you know? It's kind of
that kind of attitude. Well, it's an outstanding production, and
thank
it's
you.
Brilliant. And I'm not going to let you off the hook, because we're going to come back to the message of it in just a minute.
Just to say something more about the production. I work very closely, you know, with Mickey Mago. And I'd like to really thank him on this one, because the mix and master that he did with this was like it took it to the next level.
So to put this in context.
And my head's at rest, like my mind's at rest that it's going to sound good on every system, you know. He gets me.
it's fantastic, because the last time I had you on the show was just when you started working
with M-Team.
With M-Team. And
exactly.
In fact, I believe that was the second show. And Mickey Margo, that relationship with Kajin and Mr. M was built, and you put out a whole bunch of really good music as M-Team. So you say this, I want to pick that apart, because the production is amazing, not just the video production, but also the audio production as well. When you say that he mastered and he contributed to the production, what does that actually mean? Talk me through the process. You come up with this idea.
Exactly. So basically, what I do is I songwrite and also produce. So I will give him the arrangement, the instruments, I play, I give him the whole picture. What he does is make sure that, for example, if we're going to play it in the car, and in the car there's a huge subwoofer, the bass isn't going to take over everything and you can't hear anything except for like a South Toyota Corolla or something like that, you know?
In Essex.
So that's the that's kind of making sure levels are okay, that the voice is good with the music isn't overpowering the voice, all these little technicalities. And I'd like to apologize for the changes I send, like, at 11 p.m. And thank you, Mickey.
Are you that kind of client?
The thing is, what me and Mickey do is, I have certain strengths and he has others. So we don't charge each other, we charge each other in kind. So if he needs some guitars, I'll do the guitars. If I need mastering, he'll do mastering. So it's more of a friendship. So we're speaking all the time on Facebook, you know. So it could be that I sent him changes at 11 p.m., but at 10:30 we're still talking about what we ate, you know.
Yes, but at 11 p.m. he's like, "Oh, for crying out loud!"
It's like I have a day job, you know.
You might just have got creative, but I'm going to bed.
Exactly.
But when I first saw the video, I watched it and it took me about maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 seconds. And then I said, "Oh my word, that's Matt." Mm-hmm. Because you embrace that role and you look like you certainly know how to act and you do a very, very good job of it. And also because you're wearing an appalling wig.
Appalling wig. That helps too. That helps a lot.
But
the fact that I'm not with the hat helps as well. Like it disassociates Matthew James from the character of Mr.
Because Popper. Your hat or your collection of hats, how many do you have?
A couple. I'm not sure exactly how much, but they're close to in the 20s now, I think.
Okay,
but it's massive.
That's part of your personality. You are Matthew James with a hat. I don't think I've ever seen you without a hat. And of course, then you're in this wig and doing this whole drinking of this elixir and of inference that there's some drugs taking part at mm-hmm, one point. Mm-hmm, and then you turn into this very dark character. And it's a really good story. It's a really good story in, what is it, 2 minutes and 35 seconds?
Exactly, something like that.
And I picked up, when I saw it, I thought to myself, hang on a second, this song is 2 minutes, 35 seconds. And I can recall, when I've interviewed you before, you said that radio stations are now driving, and not just radio stations, but online media is driving the length of a track. Because whereas before, you know, we may have had 5 minute tracks, 4 minute tracks, sometimes 8 minute tracks. I've made that mistake of playing that on radio as well. But now songs tend to be much shorter. And this was something that you told me, and I recalled it when I saw that. I said, "Oh my word, that's something that Matt said." Is that still the case? And is that what drove the length of this track and the length of the video?
I mean, it always depends, what the aim of the song is, like what you want to do with the song. But this is sometimes something I also tell my clients, like when they come and they're like, "Okay, I want an original track. Do you want it to be able to hear yourself sing on a track, show it to your friends and family, have something that you're really proud of, or do you want it for the radio?" Just something totally different. You can have both. You can have both. And that's what I always try to do. Like, strike a balance between music I'd actually listen to, and music that is radio friendly. Because at the end of the day, exposure always helps your career. But I mean, I've had clients who are like, radio doesn't really make a difference for us. We have these 1,000 loyal fans who like our sound. We just want to give them that with a new twist, you know. Time becomes irrelevant over there. I think radio and social media always keep shortening clips is because the market is so saturated. And like, I know I'm repeating myself, most probably I said this in the last interview as well, but before you had the luxury of buying a long play, sitting down, putting it on the spinning thing on the turntable.
It's a spinning thing.
Spinning thing, yes. Lapsus.
It's a record player.
And like, you relax. After 15 minutes, you had to get up and turn the side of the LP because it stopped, you know. It was a whole ritual. Nowadays, like, how long does it take to swipe? Does it take a second or a split second? That is the amount of time you have to capture the phone user or the computer user, not to swipe up. So colors, music, like everything, boom, 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 you know, here, stop swiping. That's what psychology has become now.
That's a huge amount of pressure. I mean, literally, do you consider that when you're going in that creative process at 2 a.m. in the morning, or you're talking to Mickey Margot at 11 o'clock at night, is that part of the process where you're thinking to yourself, this has to go out and grabs everybody's attention in the first nanosecond?
There are songs and songs. I think it's John Mayer who says this. Once he had this track called Something the Trees. I'm a horrible with names.
I am just going to say,
horrible with names.
Useless.
But I remember the essence of the story. Details are...
That's good for you. All right, that works.
Sometimes I forget the details as well, but it's okay. So basically, John Mayer says once... he was actually giving a speech, exactly. And there was someone in the crowd, and he was like, why didn't you release song X on the radio? And he was like, okay, I don't expect, and he was very blunt, but I love this expression. It's a bit elitist, but very true. I don't expect Johnny Sixpack to understand and appreciate this song. If I released it on the radio, it wouldn't work. But he would like, Hysteria, Hysteria, and he was singing it on the song. And he was like, so there are certain songs that you can compromise. So you're like, okay, I wrote a great chorus. This is a super hook. Let me write a 2-minute track for it because it's going to do really well on radio. There's another track. These are all his words, not mine. There's this track that is cinematic and soulful, and it's just 6 minutes of acoustic guitar, and in the fourth minute, the first string comes in, you know. That is never going to work on radio. So what you would do is give them the 2-minute hit song. Don't compromise that work of art. That work of art exists as a 6-minute song. Don't touch it. Compromise the 2:30 hit for the teenagers to go, yeah. You see the difference?
Yes,
So there are songs that you can compromise and songs, And he comes to this point that through that hit, the commercial pop hit, you might get Johnny Sixpack to listen to your album and discover The Trees, blah, 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 the song X. And he starts appreciating it. He's like, all right, because now he's in his car driving after a long day of work, so he can appreciate it. So I think this makes a lot of sense.
It's incredible. It makes an awful lot of sense. But leads me to another question.
Cool.
That when you sit down to write a song, when you have done your day of work and you sit down and you're shutting down your mind and you're relaxing and suddenly, boom, that creativity hits, would you know at that moment whether it's going to be one of those songs for teenagers to go, woo, as you just did, or is it going to be one of those beautiful songs? And which of those genres does Wrong Reasons apply to?
So, Wrong Reasons applies more to the second type. I think the concept is still a bit adulty. It's not that teen pop lyric-wise, but the groove I think is the groove is pop, not teen pop. So it's not teen pop, but it's still radio friendly. When I realize immediately. It's the obvious ones, but sometimes you don't realize and it can still be a hit, but the obvious hits you realize. Like, for example, Wrong Reasons, I was going through samples on a thing called Splice. Maybe you heard us talking about it before. And this 3-second riff came up. It was literally a 3-second patch. And I was like, whoa, this can go places. And that's well, most of the time, that's what pop and hooky things, this is where the cleverness comes in pop. Pop is basically the same four notes when we hear these four chord songs, the same four notes, but cleverly shifting them, repeating them with different instruments, and that's why it's hooky, that's why it's catchy, that's why it sticks in your head. For example, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, I think it's fifth. Oh my God, I'm so uncultured. I think it's the fifth, like the da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. The genius of Beethoven was that he knew where that da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da could go. He took it to and then G, whoa, you know, that's the G. So with just a four note phrase, he went through that whole journey. So if you have those 4 seconds, you're like, aha, it's going to be a hit.
So this is a more of a formula than radio, necessarily just a creative
formula. Yes. I mean, abroad, that's why you see a song with 10 songwriters. Half of those songwriters are musical psychologists who know which chords give certain emotions, what notes stick in the brain more than others. Yes. You've been punked!
I feel cheated.
Everything is the entertainment industry is all like this. Like, it's at the end of the day, I hate it because I suck at business. I'm more of an artist. But at the end of the day, we have a product and we have to sell it. And the more addictive it is, the more money you make. Now, if you want to do it for the money, for the wrong reasons, you do it for the wrong reasons. There's always that formula that always gives you results. But from experience, that formula after a certain amount of time doesn't keep giving you that satisfaction, that feeling that the world just got a little dim today gave me. So I, at this point, I'm in, and I'm at a point in my career where I want to create that kind of music that when people hear it, they're like, feel that same pain, that same euphoria, whatever. That je ne sais quoi.
I am really blown away by that. First of all, that I've been punked and cheated, but also that it really does come down to these four notes, which is incredible. Just to finish off that conversation with regards to the length of a track, so you went into Wrong Reasons knowing that sound, you heard this,
it could work on the
this
radio.
Little bit of a rift, and you turned that rift into an incredible song, and you took that theme into the video and you created this thing, but you did it in 2 minutes and 35 seconds, which makes it perfect for certain media, which makes it perfect for online or radio.
I still get requests for 2-minute versions. Yep.
That is insane. But do you feel like when you've done that 2-minute 35 length track, do you ever feel like, okay, you had to take out the bridge, you had to out the extra...
In all fairness, you can say everything in 1 minute 30 seconds. Like, the whole gist of the song can be done in 1 minute 30. Now, obviously, I wouldn't want to piss off my fans, because I wouldn't want them to be waiting for a track and they find it at 1 minute 30, you know? But, I mean, in reality, yes, in reality, in pop, I mean, in the pop formula, you have the verse, the pre-chorus, and the chorus. Sometimes there isn't even a pre-chorus. But, and then it's all about, like, for example, The Weeknd has a brilliant way how to, and even Chris Martin, they have a brilliant way how to write second verses. I'm a bit lazy when it comes to second verses. I'm like, yeah, let's get the verse done. The verse is sounding cool. Okay, let's go to the pre-chorus to lead into the chorus. Okay, chorus sounding massive. Okay, I'm bored. Next song. You know, the rest is the boring part, kind of, because I enjoy creating the most. And then the boring part is when you have to build the structure, and then it gets fun again when you start putting in the ear candy, like those little sounds that make it fun.
This has totally and utterly blown away any preconception and any fantasy I
that
had
music
about
is still honest.
Songwriting. Yes, the honesty of modern music. It's all gone. That's it. I'm going to go home and
cry. No, I mean, in all fairness, the best songwriters in the world still manage to create masterpieces within these formulas. So it's still so I'm not saying that if it's a formula song, it's bad. Not at all. Many people use it as a shortcut because the formula is what most clients want, so we get into that business, so we get a lot of people in the studio.
I'm going to
shut my mouth.
You're going down the road you don't want to go, I know it. But that leads me on to my penultimate question, which is, have your goals and aspirations and dreams changed because of this? You've taken a new focus. And what are your dream goals? If you could do whatever Matthew James wants to do in life, the big, big goal, what would that be?
Before, I was very goal-oriented, like, you know, the dream. Touring, you know, the band life, studios. But as time passed, like, you know, fame, fortune, money, as time passed, I realized the priorities in life. Don't get me wrong, money is super important to live. And what was the other one? And fame. Nobody hates a bit of attention, you know. But it's now, maybe it's because I'm getting older and not really giving a damn about what people say, but more, I'm going to change that. It's not that I don't care about what people say. I care about what people who care about me say, which means the people who, when I was down and beaten down, were there for me. Those, yes, I listen to. I'm like, they want the best for me. So it's not a thing of ego that, like, I know what's best, you know. So I need that thing. But if it's an opinion from someone that I know doesn't have the right intention and is doing it for the
wrong reasons,
that is where
you don't care so much.
Exactly.
I love that. What a great conclusion to this interview. My last question for you. Your pseudonym, your alternative personality, mm-hmm. in Wrong Reasons. Are we ever going to see you run for election?
No, I don't think so.
Are we ever going to see you?
The music industry is a dirty business enough.
Okay. Are we going to see you in the supermarket on a Saturday afternoon wearing that wig? I want to see you.
No. I mean, I'd like people to keep Mr. Cocker in that, like, fantasy parallel universe world, you know? I would never want me and him to cross paths in real life, because it would be disastrous.
Thank you so much for being on The Interviewer again.
Huge
congratulations for the track. And as I mentioned right at the very beginning, just when I think I've got the depth of you, Matt, the shape of you, and I understand what kind of music you're doing, you pull out something like this. Please keep doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, really.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again, or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.